Today is the 9th day of January 2018, the 22nd of Teves, Tufshin Ayin Ches. We are up to the last day of our study, the 9th parak of Vayikra, which is the first parak, the first Aliyah in Parsha Shmini. I'd like to focus on something I think we talked about when we went through it with regards with Rashi, and that is the Pasuk of Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. By Yomer Moshe El Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, Karav El Mizbeach Vaasei, so come to the Mizbeach and you're going to do Eschat Hascha V'Yesolosecha. So again, Moshe is saying to Aaron, you'll come to Mizbeach and you'll do the Chatas and you'll do the Ola. V'chaper B'Adcha U'V'Ad Ha'am. And you will provide atonement for yourself and for the people. Then perform the service of the people's offerings, provide atonement for them, as Hashem has commanded. Fine. So Rashi makes a comment here. Rashi makes a famous comment. Karav el mizbeach. So Moshe is like urging. Moshe already gave this command to Aaron, and Moshe is nudging Aaron to come forward. Why does Moshe have to give Aaron this extra nudge to come forward? So says Rashi, Shehaya Aaron bosh v'yarei lageshes. That Aaron was embarrassed, and he was afraid to come close. So Amar lo Moshe, Lama ata bosh? So Moshe turns to him and says, why are you embarrassed? It is for this that you were chosen. It is for this that you were chosen. So what is the story there? What does it mean that it is for this that you were chosen? So I think, I don't know if Flint Small is listening, but I think Josh Small, for a while I had the Chidushi Halev, somebody from the previous books, from Bereishis and Shmos. So I have Bereishis Shmos by Midbar and Dvarim, and I was listening Vayikra for a while. So Chidushi Halev is from the Rav Hanoch Leibowitz, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Chafetz Chaim. So I got Josh to track me down a middle volume here in the book of Vayikra. And God finally get to use it today for the first time in Shir. So suggests Rav Hanoch Leibowitz a very interesting idea with regards to this pshat of busha. What does it mean that he was busha? That he was embarrassed to come. So he says that there's two. His terminology is great. There's really two different types of what it means to be embarrassed. That in terms of the way it appears, so they're going to look very similar to one another. In terms of the outcome, in terms of what the effect is of these two aspects of busha, of embarrassment, they look the same. Baram, however, biatzmusam umehusam, within their inherency, if that's a word, inherently, they happen to be very far from one another. Because they come from two different midos. They come from two different character traits. Now one of them, one of the aspects of busha, comes out of fear. And what does it mean? That you perhaps are afraid of others without necessarily a great reason. V'hi midah ra hamafriya l'kima mitzvos. And that is a bad midah. That is a bad midah that will keep a person from doing mitzvos. Meaning it is a fear of what will people say. It is a fear of what could possibly happen to me. This is like the anxiety aspect of busha. That person is anxious and therefore they are afraid to do anything. So that is aspect of busha number one. It says v'ilu hasheni noveya mimidosus hatovus umaskilu hayasher. However, the second aspect of busha, what means to be I'm embarrassed, meaning more I'm humble, meaning I'm not worthy to be able to do such a thing. So that comes from a good place, right? And you're afraid of others, rakishish tam v'seva haguna, right? You're afraid of others because there's a good reason. V'himi detovu magi'u mevi'a l'kima mitzvos marchika me'averos, that will keep a person from doing mitzvos and it'll keep them away from averos. As we, and he quotes a from, as it says in the Orchos Tzadikim, I see you're learning Orchos Tzadikim, it was on the Shunder here, in the Shar Habusha, Kivayagia El Rov Hamiles Vimna Beaveres Bichom Midas Migunos, that this will get you to the rove of to many great things and will keep a person away from Midas Magunos, from it'll keep a person away from bad things. So what's the pshat in Aaron? Why was Aaron afraid of doing it? So Aaron's, and the Ramban will develop this a little more, Ramban was afraid, Shenisbayish Lageshes Machmas, Shezachar Chet Egel. He said, I am not worthy because of the story of the Chet Egel. Because, and we saw many different aspects, many different reminders in the beginning of this parak about how this is sort of a response and a way of, to help Aaron get over the idea of the Chet Egel. So Aaron said, I'm not worthy because of the Chayda Egel Ishu. Even though it's the good side of the Busha, they says, oh, I'm not worthy, I did something wrong. Keeping away him away from doing mitzvahs. And therefore, it's keeping him from getting close to the Mizbeach. So therefore, what do we see? That sometimes we can overdo it. Almost all characteristics. That even though Aaron is saying, I'm not worthy, I did this and I did that in my past. Well, really, he's only spoken on one thing. I did this, I did the chita eagle in my past, and I'm not worthy. So Moshe is nudging him along and saying, despite that, you have to go close. You have to go ahead and do it because at the end of the day, you have a mitzvah to do, and that's what he means. L'kach nivcharta, that you have been chosen for this. That Moshe says to Aaron, "You're right. That you're right. That of doing what you did with regards to the chita egel in terms of the bringing forth that process, that should be monei you. That should keep you away from the ability to be part of the to be a kohen gadol. But even so, the kach nivcharta, for this you were chosen. You were chosen for this, and therefore come and get over your anxiety, and come and get over your embarrassment and your humility, and go ahead and do it anyways." That you're correct in your midah, but you have to go ahead and do it anyways. That seems to be what the Chidushi Halev is going on. So
to unpack this, you give the anatomy of busha, of shame.
Yeah.
There's the first part, it's sort of like stage fright, I would think, being around in front of people. You're uncomfortable.
Right. Well, stage fright, I think, is more irrational. I think that the first thing he was saying was a little more rational. Like, I'm afraid that they're actually going. I'm not sure what stage fright is. That's probably different for different people. Are you a psychologist by training?
No.
Okay. But I think what he's saying is that I'm afraid of standing up for myself. I'm afraid people won't like me. Right? As a rabbi, I'm not going to take a stand on a certain issue because I'm afraid of the blowback that I'm going to get.
Okay.
Right? So I think that he pushed that aside and said, bad, that's bad. But that's not what Aaron was involved in. Aaron's was the other side of busha, of I'm not worthy. Right. Right, and he had a reason why. A lot of anxiety is, that people have is there's a good reason for it, but it's okay, but you got to come and get over it. Moshe says you were chosen for this, and therefore go ahead and do it anyways. I think that's where Rav Henoch takes us.
The translated here is diffident. That's the opposite of confident.
Okay.
And some of the synonyms for diffident are like lacking self-assurance, just terrible.
Right. Okay.
So it could be rational or irrational.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about embarrassment or bullshit.
Well, indifferent is what you're saying.
No, not right. Indifferent.
Diffident.
So I don't think Rav Henoch wants to take this to a place of irrationality. If it's irrational or subconscious, I think you want to say, no, it was conscious. Moshe, Aaron had this perspective. And Moshe told him, okay, but overcome that perspective. But you perhaps could go, the Sifsi Chaim perhaps even takes it a little bit further. And he points an interesting line in the Chovas HaLevavos, towards the end of the Chovas, one of the chapters towards the end of the Chovas HaLevavos, called the Shar HaCheshbon, about doing a Cheshbon HaNefesh. And it gives you it gives you 30 or so different ways of doing cheshbon and nefesh. And the 18th one is that when a person becomes if a person becomes haughty, he should make it a kathy for himself. And then he says, quotes towards the end of that little section, he says, V'amral echam min tzaddikim shai omer achar tfilaso. That it's said about one of the tzaddikim who said after his used to say after his tefillah. Elokai lo nasani lamu lefnecha sichli bivchisus erki umiyak yedias bigdulasi veramucha. I'm emboldened to stand in front of you. I am emboldened to stand before you, not by ignorance of my own paltry stature and inadequate knowledge of your greatness of your transcendent. I mean, what gives me the right to stand in front of you? It's not because I don't recognize how great you are. I do recognize how great you are. Ki ataram v'nisav ani nikla v'nivsev akatun mishal mimcha umikori elecha shevach. Nahala. Because I recognize that you do have greatness, and I'm too little to account, and I'm too little to really do any of this in front of you. And to sanctify your name, which is sanctified by the angels, etc. So don't think I'm being chutzpahdik by standing in front of you because I don't recognize who you are. I do recognize who you are, and I recognize who I am, and I recognize that I really shouldn't be able to speak to you. Aval nasani almze mashiromamti bitzavuscha usi likro elecha. Rather, the reason I'm able to speak to you is because you raised me up. And you told me, and you commanded me. You commanded me to speak to you. And have permitted me to praise your name according to my understanding of you and my grasp of your glory, also that I may express my service to you in my humility before you. So that's part of what I'm, part of what I'm doing. I mean, I don't have a right to speak to you, but what can I do? You gave me a mitzvah, and you command me, and by you giving me the mitzvah of doing tefillah, I now earn the right to do that. And by way, I also recognize my humility that then exists before you. So in the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, he picks up on that last line. I express my service to you and my humility before you. So what does he mean by that? So he goes ahead and quotes this pasuk. And Rashi explains that Aaron was afraid to go in front, and Moshe tells him, you were chosen for this. And the Arizal goes and explains, Pirsha Inyan, what's the pshat here? That Moshe says to Aaron that if a person is not embarrassed, that a person who says that they are fit for this task is not the person that should be going ahead for this task. It's only because a person is bosh, a person is embarrassed by themselves, that they think that they're not fit. So that is the reason that you are chosen. So what does it mean, lekach nivcharta? So Rav Henoch, the first pshat we had was, you've been chosen for this, so Aaron, get over it, you've been chosen for this, and you have to go ahead and do this. Says the Sif Seichayim, no, lekach nivcharta, because you think you're not worthy, that's why you're worthy. That's why you're the one that's going to be the one that's supposed to go up. You're the one that specifically recognizes the greatness and the importance and the humility necessary for this, and therefore, you're going to be the one that... therefore, you're going to be the one that is that is chosen. You're the one that's chosen. So we read a few references to the book that came out recently, Who Will Lead Us? Who Will Lead Us is a fascinating sociological study of five Hasidic sects and the transition from the one Rebbe to the next Rebbe. And how that's always fraught with challenges. Sometimes there's too many or too little, etc. And different challenges that are involved. So one point that he makes is that every Rebbe, in their first speech, when they've chosen and now they get up, and now it's their first time to address their flock, it always includes this paragraph of, I'm not really fit for this, I'm not like my father, and I'm not like my Zayda, but what can I do? There's no Zayda. Right? Everyone begins like that. That's like the, it's necessary to start that way. Whether it's true or not true, meaning whether it's sincere or not sincere, they're the ones that are going ahead and you have to go ahead and make that claim. If you look at most introductions to Sfarim as well, that's how most introductions are. That who am I to write a sefer? I'm not really fit to write a sefer, but people have suggested that I should, and therefore I should go ahead. Rav Moshe's introduction is a little bit sharper than that. Rav Moshe Feinstein's introduction to Igros Moshe, which is like a classic. He says, we're not like the people of the past, etc. And who am I to write, etc. But we have a responsibility to our time. We have a responsibility to do the best that we can, and therefore. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So it is a recognition of humility, but yet also still a recognition, kind of recognition of something that we have to go ahead with. He goes on and says, he gives a different pshat also in Lekach Nivcharta, is for this you were chosen, meaning you're right, you're not worthy, Moshe says to Aaron, but because you were chosen for this, therefore you are worthy. right? Because you were chosen, so therefore you're fit in order to go ahead and do this. There's many stories of I think there's a story with Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, but there's could fit in many Rabbanim in Europe where the Shochet came to them and said, you know, I can't do this anymore. It's too much pressure. All the concerns, the person, the town Shochet, all the pressure of is, am I really doing the Hashgacha properly? Am I doing the Shita properly? Am I doing this properly? And what should I can't take it anymore. I'm going ahead and doing something else. So these stories end in two different ways. So one version, which is no lekach nifcharta, no, because you're so nervous, that's why I specifically want you in the position, which is fits into our Russia. The other way that these stories end is, well, what are you going to do? I think there's a story with the Chafetz Chaim, like they say in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, like this. So what are you going to do instead? Oh, I'm going to go into business. But you're going to go into business. You realize Hilchos Shechita takes up about 25 simanim in Shulchan Aruch. Laws of business? The entire Choshen Mishpat. How are you going to learn all the halachas then, etc.? Okay. But the Lekach Nifcharta, because you are humble and because you have you recognize the gravitas of that position, that's specifically why you're chosen. And then there is one more thought I want to put out there. I've heard this actually on a few shirim recently for Moshe Weinberger, this idea. And that is, as you alluded to before, the Rabban points out that Aaron is very nervous because Aaron's main sin was that of the Chet Egel. And he said, and I'm not worthy to do this because of the Chet Egel. So Moshe, the Ramban says, so he was scared. Ulekach Amar, so therefore Moshe says to him, Hageis Daitcha, this is the Ramban, Shalotia Shafa Ruach Kolkach, like you should embolden yourself, you shouldn't be of such low spirits. Shekvar Ratza Hashem Es Maasecha, because Hashem has already accepted your deeds. But perhaps, what does it mean Hashem has already accepted your deeds? What has he done with that? So one thought is, no, he's already accepted your tshuva. I mean, you offered your korbanos, you've offered your sacrifice, and therefore Hashem has accepted your tshuva, and therefore you've kind of crossed out that previous part of your life, and now you're able to do this. I know there was a chita egel involvement, but don't worry, we're past that. But perhaps it's more shekvar rotza Hashem es maasecha. Hashem has already accepted your deeds. Hashem has already accepted the action of the Chet Egel. What does it mean he's already accepted the action of the Chet Egel? So there is a interesting medrash that appears in the beginning of Noach. We, I think every year, Bruce and I get into some discussion, Parshas Noach, about how much we like Noach. Right? Noach, is he a big, big tzaddik, or is he not such a big tzaddik? What exactly is, where does Noach's status in the pantheon of tzaddikim in the Jewish tradition? So there is the following medrash that appears in the very towards the beginning of Parshas Noach, going on the very first pasuk, the Hayah, right? Noach each tzaddik tamim Hayah. Bedorosav. So says the Medrash. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Kol mi shenemar bo haya hu tchilaso hu sofo. For anybody that it says haya about, it means from beginning to the end. What's the Medrash implying? That Noach tzaddik haya bedorosav. He was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik from the beginning to the end. From his entire life, he was considered a tzaddik. Right. So, Hativanle, so they asked the following question. They said, wait a second. Vaksiv, it says by Avraham, Echad Haya Avraham, by Yirshas Aretz. It's actually a pasuk in Yecheskel, but it says by Avraham, Avraham was one, and he inherited the land. So the word Haya is used again. Miyata hu tchilasu v'yatzofa, was Avraham a tzaddik from beginning to the end? Was Avraham always a tzaddik? So the implication is not. So Amar Lahon, and Rav Yochanan responded, Afi lo tavra. That's also not a problem. That Rabbi Levi b'shem Reish Lakish Amar, plus Rabbi Levi says the name of Reish Lakish, Ben Gimel Shnoim Shanim Hikar Avram Esbaro. That Avram already recognized the Kaddish Baruch Hu from the age of three. Now, there's a bit of a problem here, because I just noticed now that it's Rabbi Yochanan that's speaking. Ah, oh, I see, there's a note. about this, right? Rabbi Yochanan is the one who started this whole thing. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who starts this matter. She's the one who said Hayah means from beginning to end. So they say, well, wait a second, what about Avram from beginning to end? He says, oh, well, Reish Lakish holds that Avram was already at Sai from the age of three. Who's the one who always argues with Reish Lakish? Who's Reish Lakish's big bar plukta? Rabbi Yochanan. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan is quoting Reish Lakish as a defense for himself. And the very next line in the Medrash is, oh, and by the way, Rabbi Chanin of Rabbi Yochanan Shavayu Amrin, Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Yochanan, they both say that Avram was 40 when he was 48. Ben Arbaim v'ches shana hikir Avram esper. Avram was actually 48 when he recognized the Creator. So that's... how can Rabbi Yochanan quote Reish Lakish as a defense for himself when he holds something else? Right, so it is, I see there's a footnote here that points out this problem, and maybe it was someone other than Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, but anyways, umani mekayim haya. But how do I then interpret haya? Meaning, if I'm going to say that Avram wasn't a tzaddik until the age of 48, so then how do I understand that Avram is being a tzaddik from beginning to the end? Shahayim mesukan lahadrich kol haolam kulo b'tshuva, because he was predestined to guide the entire world in tshuva. What does it mean that he was predestined to guide
Avraham?
That Avraham was predestined to guide the entire world. To guide the entire world with tshuva.
He wasn't very successful.
So one issue is that Avraham wasn't very successful, except that he was, and then he wasn't. So that's a question: what happened to all the people that Avraham was that Avraham brought back? We have the Rambam here, just in terms of what Sam's alluding to, that once Avram figured things out, he went and called out and got everybody together. He actually gives a number here. Where is it? So once he had the whole nation in front of him, until Avram actually had gathered tens of thousands of people, and those are the people of Avram. That's the way the Rambam records Avram's people. So he was very successful. The question is, however, what happened to all of them? So that's really a side issue, that really all that was left of Avram was his children, which is big muster for the Rabbanim. But all that you really have as your legacy is going to end up being your children. But Avram was successful, but it's something we don't really necessarily know what happened to the rest of his people. But what does it say about Avram? What does it describe Avram as being towards the beginning? So it says, "Va'aviv imo." Other, I'm sorry. So Avram, kivin shenigmal. The Rambam writes in Perak Aleph Halacha Gimel Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Kivin shenigmal ita itan zehiskel l'shotei b'daitav hu katan l'achshin biyom v'layah. So he was beginning to think both day and night. Va'ayat temia, and he was wondering, "Heich efshar shiyeh ha'gilgal hazen noeg tamid? How could it be that this keeps going around and around? V'lo yelo manhig umi yisavivusa. Right? Who makes the sun go around and around? Who's the one that's cranking the gears? So the fishiyev sharshi saiva, it can't be doing it itself. V'lo hayalo lo melamed v'lo modia. He didn't have a rebbe. He didn't have anybody teaching him. Davar ela mushka beor kastin. Bain ovde avodah zara hatipshin. Rather, he was mushka in or kastin. What does it mean? Mushka in or kastin. What does that word mean? He was immersed in or kastin. What is it? And what is it? What was or kastin? Or kastin was the center of avodah zara. So Avram was immersed in or kastin for the entire time until he was able to get a little bit older, and he's able to get better. So what's going on here? What's going on? So the Medrash is saying that Avram, so Haya means from beginning to the end. And Avram was considered a tzaddik from the beginning to the end. That's what the Pasuk tells in Yecheskel. How could Avram be considered a tzaddik from beginning to the end? So according to Reish Lakish, well, from the age of three, he already became a believer. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't a believer until 48. Okay, but he was born in order to bring people to tshuva. So Rav Weinberger explains a very important idea here with regards to tshuva. Why? What does it mean that Avram was able to bring everybody close? That he was built and he was predestined to be able to bring everybody towards tshuva. Noach couldn't do it. Right? Noach also was supposed to bring everybody, was in a pretty difficult situation. He should have done a good Kiruv movement that would have solved a lot of problems. Noach wasn't able to do it. It's just because Noach was a tzaddik from beginning to end. Noach was righteous from beginning to end. It was only Avram who came from nothing. Avram who came from the place of chet. Avram who came from the place of sin. Who came from the place of being mushka and or kastim. The place of being immersed in all that the civilization had to offer. And he found truth. He's the one that's then going to be able to bring about tshuva. He's going to be the one that's going to be able to bring everybody else along in order to repent. So perhaps that then brings you back to Aaron as well. That Aaron was that maybe saying Moshe is saying to Aaron. Aaron say, "How can I do this? I'm the Kohen Gadol. I sinned once in the past." Yeah. What's the Kohen Gadol's job? The main job of the Kohen Gadol is to bring karbanos, which is to account for tshuva on behalf of the Jewish people, to bring people closer. L'kach nivcharta. Because of your past, that's why you're chosen for the present. I know it was Moshe, didn't Moshe back down, and Moshe, etc. But, okay, at least in terms of this line in the Ramban. Right? L'kach shekvar ratza Hashem es ma'asech. Hashem has already accepted your deeds and included that as part of you. And that's now going to be your job as the Kohen Gadol to bring other people along for tshuva. It's interesting that the characters involved in this discussion are Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish have this ongoing issue between them. That Rabbi Yochanan is ready to move on from the sin, and Rish Lakish is ready, who had a sinful past. He was a gladiator, he was a ganav, he was a thug, whatever it is that he was in the past, he's willing to invoke that into the present as well. There's a Gemara about him using his knowledge of thievery for something. I forget what the discussion's about, but Rabbi Yochanan, they have something about whether something is a kli or not, so Rabbi Yochanan, or what something is. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Oh, ask Rish Lakish, because he's a ganav, so he knows these things." Right? Rish Lakish is willing to answer. He's willing to include his past into the present. And of course, there's the famous Gemara in the Sefer Yuma, where Rish Lakish is the one who says that how wonderful is tshuva, because tshuva turns your zedonos into zechuyos. It turns your sins, the things that you have done sinfully, doesn't just wipe them out, but actually turns them into merits. How is it possible that it could possibly turn them into merits? So Rish Lakish is telling you that if you could use your, not just erase your past, but to use your past for the future. So then that's going to be that's really the sign of greatness, and that's really how you're going to be able to bring other people along. Okay, so with regards to lekach nivcharta, what does it mean for this thing specifically, you were chosen? So I think we got, at the end of the day, four pshatim here. Number one is the pshat from the Chidushi Aleif, from Avinah Leibowitz, where he says that, well, lekach nivcharta, that even though you might think that you're not a roi for this, and you might be afraid, and you might be embarrassed, okay, but go ahead and do it anyway. It's just overcome. Sometimes just brute force, you got to overcome that. Then we had the Sifsei Chaim based on the idea from the Chovos HaLevavos that when a person davens, says the Chovos HaLevavos, he has to recognize that he says, I recognize your greatness, I recognize I shouldn't be here, I recognize that I'm nothing, but yet you raised me up, so therefore I can go ahead and daven to you and pour myself out in front of you. So says Sifsei Chaim, because a person, because he recognizes his humility, that's why he was chosen. That's what Moshe is saying to Aaron. Because you think you're not worthy, therefore lekach nivcharta. Therefore, for that you were chosen for this task. And then the other possibility is Sifsei Chaim says that you're right, you're not worthy, but Hashem chose you, so now you are worthy. That's the second shot that the Sifsei Chaim gives. And then finally, I thought from the Ramban, shekfar ratz Hashem es ma'asecha, that you are now, Hashem has accepted you. Maybe that fits in with a little kach nivcharta, that because you have repented for your past, you now have the tools to bring other people along and allow them and aid them in repenting for their past. Okay? I'll stop here. And I guess tomorrow move on to Perek Yud, the story of Nadav and Avihu. Not tomorrow, sorry, Thursday.
There's a symmetry also about Aaron and